Man, I love being in a room. I love being in a room like this where you can hear each other sing. But one of the greatest things we sing is our own personal story. You're about to hear our friend Sharon's story.
So I grew up in an abusive household. My father was physically abusive. He was an alcoholic. My mom didn't know how to be a mother. And so it's like I grew up alone. I didn't know anything about God, anything about Jesus until I moved to Cincinnati. And I was about 33 years old, and a friend of mine asked me, what church do you go to? And I said, I don't go to church. And she said, okay, come and go with me. And that's how I started to develop a relationship with the Lord. And I see in him the father that I did not have when I grew up. A good friend of mine is a commissioned pastor at Crossroads. I said, I have a question for you. I heard that Crossroads does not preach the Bible. And she said, Sharon, yes, we preach the Bible at Crossroads. And if you don't believe it, you need to come to a service. You know, I came to her church. She goes to Mason. So I'm sitting in the atrium and I'm waiting for her. And I see everybody. I see black, I see white, I see Hispanic, I see old, I see young, I see everybody. And so I heard in my spirit, the Lord says, this is what my church looks like. I'm just completely blown away. So I know the Lord's telling me I need to come to Crossroads. The first thing I did was started on the auditorium team. I love, love, love the auditorium team. I'm still on the auditorium team. I tried to participate in other activities. So one thing I did was Freed Up. Freed Up is an initiative that's put on by the church. And it's to help people experience what it looks like to live with a godly perspective with respect to taking care of money. So I went through that program because I had issues with money in the past. Now I'm happy to say I have no debt except my house payment. You know, I try to live in moderation. I live within my own means. I save. I give. I love to give money because that's why God gives it to me, so that I can give it to someone else. I gave to the last campaign. That was the only, I've only been in one campaign since I've been here. And at that time, I had a really good job, big salary, bonuses, the whole bit. I was a vice president. So I thought, okay, I got two children in college. You know, what can I do? I know it's over and above. And so I thought, okay, $5,000. And right after that, I heard in my spirit, no, $10,000. Wow, that's a big number. So, you know, it's like, okay, I believe it's the Lord, so I'm going to do $10,000. So I write the $10,000 down. I had it all planned. And so it's like, okay, I'll give from my bonus. And then, you know, next year I'll have my bonus because it's a several years. So it's like, okay. I give my first, I think it was $2,500. Well, right after that, I lost my job. I didn't get another job easily at all. And that's when the fear kind of started to kick in. And I think that's probably one of the most impactful times for me. I paid every bill. I was out of work for a year. He covered me. I know, like I said, there was no coincidence that I lost my job at the same time of the campaign, because he had to pull me out of this independence. So through that time, like, I hear from the Lord, and it's in my spirit. You know, he says to me, Sharon, don't worry, I got you. And so that whole experience for me was, okay, yes, you had this happen in your life, but I got you. You're good. You're okay. I got a new job in 2019. So I'm sitting and I'm talking to the Lord. And it's like, you know, thank you, Lord, for my new job. I really appreciate it. I said, but, you know, I was like here in my salary and now I'm here. And I heard so clearly, he said, no, you were here. You had zero. And I brought you up to here. And so it kind of like reframed my thought process. Like, stop looking at the old and look at this new thing that I have for you. And so I just believe now, whatever he says to me, whatever it looks like, it's like he's going to give me the tools that I need to get to be where it is. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I think he's going to push me out of my comfort zone again. How am I going to respond? I mean, I still have those same questions, but I go back to, I got you. And so I have faith in that he's, wherever he wants me to go, he's got me.
So encouraging. Today is a day of commitment. It's also a day of encouragement. The Bible says, don't let your right hand know what the left is doing, which is trying to encourage us to never give so that someone knows what we give so that we get some sort of strokes. Now, however, in the Bible, again and again and again, we know specific numbers of what people have given. And that's because it's not bad to know what someone gives if it's okay with them. It's bad to give out of a condition of wanting people to think you're really special and spiritual. We're gonna give a number of stories today just to people across the broad spectrum who have heard from God or want God to hear from them how much they think about him and have made a 3-year commitment above and beyond what they regularly give to support the push for 10X in the territories that God is inviting us to inhabit and expand. This last Wednesday, we had a leadership event. Everybody who's a leader across us came. Well, leaders go first, leaders set the pace, and we had leaders come forward and give commitments, their advanced financial commitments, and they had an opportunity, we had an opportunity to actually write down our story of what was behind this, and it was really moving, and I think you'll be thankful to see this.
Your kingdom come.
great. So here we go. It comes down to this. We've been in the push for 10X. We are coming here. You know what you were coming for today, unless you didn't. Let me remind you, if you're first time today, you're going, what in the world is this place? This is freaking weird. I know it is. Very weird. Very, very abnormal. This is the day that we've been building towards where we're seeing if God has 10 times more space in our life. We're seeing with if we want 10 times more of God's presence in our church, where we're seeing if we can 10X the impact that God would have us do over the next 10 years. And for the next 3 years, we're going to be giving, those of us who are going to do that, are giving above and beyond what we regularly give for 3 years. What we regularly give goes to mission stuff, to our partners, kids club things, and all the stuff we do to build into students, salaries, mortgage, Wi-Fi, videos that we produce, all the benevolence ministry we have, all the stuff we do to help people who are in need, all that stuff needs to continue. And there's new territory we're going to take, and that's what today's about. You came here to be pushed, so today I'm going to push you. You ready for this? You ready? Doesn't matter. I'm going to push you. I think I have something that God actually wants for you. I do. I think he does. Here we go. God, thank you for helping us get beyond the normal. This is not normal, and we're thankful. I'm thankful for being a church. We're a bunch of people. We're up for this, up for a push and up for being here. Would you just visit us by your spirit if you haven't already? Help me to be clear, helpful as we come to a defining moment for our church and for us. We trust you. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When my kids were little, I would play this game with them. I'd lie on my back on the living room floor. I'd grab my kids. I'd put them on my chest, and their feet would kind of be on either side of my neck. So if I'm, lying down like this, I have my hands underneath the rear end here, and we would play blast off. I'd go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off. I go, I'd lift them up and shake them like a blasting off. And they'd go rattling around, the brain rattling off the inside of their cranium, and maybe why some of them have mental issues right now, but it was great, great fun. Blast off, what's it called? Blast off. As I've geeked out on the Apollo program and at NASA, I found that was actually the wrong phrase. The actual proper phrase is commit. It's countdown to commit, not countdown to blast off. The Apollo 11 flight journal says this: once we get the commit signal, the signal that says that the thrust is proper and acceptable, we then will get a commit and lift off. Commit. What's it mean to commit something? Commitment is not a positive word in our culture. We don't like to commit. We don't like to commit to even dating somebody, let alone marrying somebody. We don't like to commit to weekend plans unless we have something that is so sold out, we've got to get there a year in advance. Everyone wants to be there or something like that. We just don't like to commit. What does it mean to commit? I want to give you another C word that's very similar to. It's the word consecrate. Consecrate. In the book of Joshua, chapter 3, we have the story of the nation of Israel who's going to a land where they haven't been. For some of you today, this is a land you've never been in. Like, wait, I'm going to make a financial commitment because I want to get closer to God, and I'm going to give money that I'm not going to get any physical products for. I'm not going to have anything more in the shelves for. No one's going to know about it. I'm not going to get strokes for being this, that. I know, it's really strange. It is. Anytime you follow God, it's strange. Most people don't want to do it. That's why it's called the narrow path instead of the wide path. And when Joshua is going over, leading people across the Jordan River, which is the edge of what they've all known, into the new promised land, which they've not known, he gives them this pep talk in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. He says, Joshua says to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate. What does it mean to consecrate yourself? It means if I'm here where everybody else is, I set myself aside. If I'm here where everybody else is, I allow myself to be used by God. If I'm here, I dedicate and set myself aside for God's purposes in a moment, which in this situation was stepping into the Jordan River. It also happens like when you're baptized, it's a moment where it's important for you to declare yourself. In moments like this, we get to consecrate ourselves because we step out from the crowd and do things that other people who don't know God don't want to do. Some people in here don't even know God. We're just in love with these territories. We want to support it in some way. It takes an amazing amount of effort to come against the norm. The norm is the gravitational pull in our culture. Just a little refresher, the way gravity works, or the gravitational pull works, is the object with the most mass sucks things around it. So the sun has more mass than the earth, and so therefore the earth revolves around the sun. The earth has more mass than the moon, so therefore the moon revolves around the earth. The lunar module spaceships that we send off have less mass than the moon, so therefore they revolve around the moon. There is a gravitational pull in this world that's pulling you and I to the kingdom of kingdom, pulling you and I to living by sight only, pulling you and I to be about ourselves. And the amount of effort it takes to break out of that gravitational pull is significant. You've all seen it, the videos of liftoff. Why is that rocket so massive? It's because it's storing all the fuel, because most of it is spent in the first few minutes trying to get outside the gravitational force of the Earth. There's also a translunar injection, and then on the way back to Earth, a trans-Earth injection, which is the effort it takes to break out of the gravitational pull, break through the atmosphere, and have a landing into a different land. Friends, if you're going to get to a new place, that's why we've been pushing each other, having a trans-kingdom injection is what we're looking for. Going out of the kingdom of this world where I only worry about my accounts, what I can visibly see, what I can control, what makes me comfortable, and getting into the kingdom of God, which is about having other people be blessed, having other people come to know God, having the world operate the way God wants it to operate, not the way I necessarily want it to operate. And that energy that it takes to do a trans-kingdom injection is what we're trying to fight for today. King David in the Bible is just a guy I go to again and again. I find him fascinating. You may know him, at least just about everybody knows him, from David and Goliath. That's a great story. But he also has his real screw-ups too. He has an adulterous affair. That's not a good thing. He also has, towards the end of his reign, a census. He takes a census, which isn't a good idea. We're not sure exactly why is it a bad idea to take a census. God's not against counting. You got a whole book for counting. It's called the Book of Numbers. God's not against taking attendance or anything like that. I don't know why God gets so upset, got upset about this, but whatever was going on in David's heart, those in his inner circle knew that this was not right. Maybe David was just taking a census, and then in the same way that many of us just look at our online accounts just because we want to see how much money we have. No purpose, just want to feel better about myself for how much money I have in the bank that I don't even know what I'm going to do with it, some of us. Maybe it was that. We don't know why, but David is considering, he wants to do the census, and he's got people close to him. Dude, what are you doing? What are you doing? Stop. Don't do the census. There's something weird going on for you here. There was no point to it. But he goes and does it, and God is not happy, just like his inner circle told him would be the case. And God comes back to him and gives him three options for punishment. And David takes option number three, which is God bringing a plague on the nation. And the reason he takes option number three is because he knows God is graceful and merciful, and maybe he won't do it for as long as he says he will. pretty bold. So this is where we come to now. Now David wants to worship God, and this is a great story. So he's heading off this guy's property nearby. He's gonna worship there. He wants to send God an offering. So God sees him saying, God, even though things aren't going well for me, I'm for you. Even though things are not the way I want them right now, I want you to know I'm for you. Here's where the story goes. He's walked this guy's land. His name is Araunah. And when Araunah looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and paid homage to the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, "Why has my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be averted from the people." Threshing floor is when you would reap wheat. Wheat has a kernel in it and got like the chaff on the outside of it. And you would take it to a table, basically to a table, and you would beat it, and then you would throw it up in the air. And because it's on the hill, there's always a breeze up there, and the wind would take away the chaff, the kernel, it would go away, and the heavier stuff, i.e. the gravitational pull mass, the heavier stuff, the kernel, drops down to the ground. This is why at our camp property, base camp, it's always cold there. It seemed like it's always cold because our current property, not the new property we bought beside it, that's all one property now, but the current property is all on a ridgeline. There's a lot of wind up there. So that's why he's up there threshing the wheat, just on the top. Araunah is, throwing it up in the air, wind coming, taking away the chaff and the good stuff falling down. David wants the same spot because he figures, I want to go to the highest place. I want to get closer to God. That's his thinking. And as he's going up, Araunah sees him. They have this interaction. Then Araunah said to David, "Let my lord, the king, take the offer up with what seems good to him. Here's the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes and the oxen for the wood. All of this, O king." Araunah gives the king. And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." Araunah may have a heart for David. Araunah may have a heart for God. Araunah also just could be a smart guy saying, "I got the king here. I should just give him some stuff. Give him some stuff, and then he'll look favorably on me with future edicts and stuff. So, hey, you don't need to buy the land from me. Here, just use the land. In fact, I've got oxen here. I've got sheep. Fine. You can do your thing. Don't worry, king. Let me take care of it for you." You think that David's excited. Like a lot of us to be excited, because a lot of us, the standard way of America, the standard way of the kingdom of this world is, hey, if someone else will pay for it, great. I don't want to. Someone else can take care of it. Great. Whew, I don't want to. Let's have somebody else do X, Y, Z, because whenever you and I have to do it, it's always a sacrifice. In fact, anytime you do anything that God, that honors God, it's a sacrifice. When you forgive somebody, that's a sacrifice. What's a sacrifice of? You're forgiving somebody and you're sacrificing the desire to get even, because you're not going to get even. When you forgive somebody, it costs you. When God forgives us, it costs us his son. His son dying on a cross for us so we don't have to pay the penalty eternally. Let's see what David seems to say to this unbelievable deal. But the king said to Araunah, "No, but I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing." Nope. I'm going to take it as a price. Nope, I won't. See, this is what he knows this. There's a kind of worship that only comes from giving and sacrifice. We can do all this day long and sing. It's wonderful, great. I love doing that. But there's a kind of worship and sacrifice that only comes when we're becoming like Jesus. We don't have any stories in the Bible of Jesus raising his hands and singing. I love it. But the sacrifice we see, the worship we see in the Bible, is Jesus laying down his life for you. Philippians 2, have the same attitude in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was equal with God, did not consider equality something to be grasped, but gave himself unto death, even death on a cross. This is our model. He sacrificed himself. That was his act of worship. And when we do this, we have to get out of the gravitational pull, the automatic systems of our day that are about consumerism, buy, or the automatic systems of our day, which are about conservatism. And I don't mean politically, I just mean financially. Like, I gotta always see the numbers go up, even though if I don't know why, I just gotta see them go up, gotta be conservative. Or cynicism, that church, they're not going to do what they say, even though we have every single time in 28 years. The cynical gravitational pull says, okay, something weird is happening here. These are the automatic systems, friends, that we live in the kingdom of this world. And when you do a trans-kingdom injection, you do and go someplace different. When they were landing the space probe, well, they had the, you know, the rocket takes off to Apollo 11, and then they've got the module that comes down onto the moon, and Lance Armstrong is, Neil. Neil Armstrong, excuse me. I said that a lot. Neil Armstrong. They were so freaked out because taking off against the Earth's gravity at the very, very beginning of the mission, that's why that the space rocket at Cape Canaveral is so massive, because it's holding so much fuel, because the most fuel is expended in the first few seconds of liftoff, because you're trying to overcome the gravitational fuel pool of the Earth. And so they're mapping out every pound, and they allotted them a certain amount of fuel to get from the spaceship down to the moon, and they needed to have at least 50% left to get all the way back up. So they programmed it in the computer as they were coming, because they didn't know what it was going to be like when they came down. They weren't really sure exactly what the terrain was going to be like and how the whole landing was going to go. They came down, and he had 19 seconds left. Neil Armstrong had 19 seconds left, and he overrode the automatic overdrive to not just go back. So we come this far, I'm going to take a risk on the last 19 seconds. He overrides it, and they land, and they get back, and it's an amazing story. But he overrides the automatic system. You're going to have to override the automatic system of the kingdom of this world if you want to get to another place spiritually. I don't even just talk about today. I just mean holistically. There's an automatic system that wants to keep you doing the same things everyone else is doing, thinking the same things everyone else is doing, feeling the same things everyone else is feeling. It's an automatic gravitational pulling system, and you're going to have to come against it. And part of it is embracing that one of the things you get in the kingdom of God is the family value of sacrifice. We don't shun it. We say, I will not do it. It has to cost me something. Like if Elon Musk was part of this church, you want to do everything, the people who are spiritually mature would go, oh, no, he's not. I want to be part. He has to cost me something. He's got to be my part of the kingdom of God. You can't be an engineer if you don't like math. Sorry, can't be an engineer if you don't like math. You can't call yourself an athlete if you don't like working out. You can't go, well, I played football in high school, yeah, 30 years ago. You can't call yourself an athlete unless you work out, and you can't call yourself a Christian unless you sacrifice. It's as simple as that. It's a family value of choosing to go without certain things so that God is worshiped and other people can have some things. We can't promise you that we're going to see an awakening. We can promise you, if the resources come in, the territories are going to expand, because our track record is that we always do everything we say we're going to do. We can promise you that. But when it comes to awakening, it's a different deal. Awakening has a major X factor of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus says the Holy Spirit is like wind. He's unpredictable. You don't know exactly what he's going to do. But I can tell you this. The Spirit is looking to see, is there any community out there that will give up something for my vision? Is there any people out there that will sacrifice something? There's not a lot today. Can't promise you there's going to be an awakening, but I can promise you this. There won't be an awakening if more of God's people don't embrace the value of sacrifice and have a vision for 10x beyond the kingdom of thingdom in which we live. This is a moment that you and I get to step into. We're asked to step into it. I have a friend of mine, long-term friend of mine. He's going to tell his story. I wouldn't say he wants to tell a story. He and my friends told their story. It was a bit uncomfortable for them. I don't want you to fixate on the number in this story. I want you to fixate on the hearts. The number is just a matter of the heart, and my friends have a great heart of sacrifice, and I think you'll enjoy their story.
We were brand new Christians, newly married.
We were looking for a church home. We had nothing kind of really stuck.
I was facilitating a friend's Bible study, probably April of
95.
Of 95, yeah. We could imagine one day this turning into a seeker-targeted church. 2 months later, we get this call from this guy, Brian Wells, who we didn't know. He said that he had heard about our interest and wanted to talk to us. And so I was pretty confident he was just looking to hit us up for some money. And so in my spiritual maturity at the time, I ignored him. And then about a week later, Nancy was in the kitchen and I was in the back hall right next to it. And it suddenly struck me, and I said to Nancy, "Hey, Nancy, these guys want to start a church." It was some time ago when any dreams we had for what might happen were surpassed. Oh, yeah. I mean, quite some time
the
ago.
The first day.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were looking for 75 people, and we had 450.
Yeah, yeah. The day we opened in 1996. It took us a while to figure out what tithing meant for us. As business owners, there are multiple streams of income, and so it's clear that tithing is 10%, but the question for folks with businesses and, you know, net worths, investments, 10% of what? We were trying to be faithful and doing what we felt was right at the time. And then there was this, I guess it was just called a building camp, capital campaign, I'm not sure. You know, it's unnerving to come up with a pledge, but Nancy and I did that, and we came up with a pledge that seemed reasonable to us. Yeah, seemed like a lot. Perhaps our fair share or something like that. You know, I was close with Brian at the time, and he invited me out to lunch. He asked me, "So what are you thinking about this campaign?" And I told him what Nancy and I were planning on. I said $85,000, and he said, "That's not nearly enough." And it shocked me. What I was expecting was, "Thank you." And he said, "That's not nearly enough." He knows the grip that money has on us. And to give sacrificially can be a real blessing. And so I think he was encouraging us to give sacrificially. I remember the culmination of the journey was
here.
Was right here at
didn't look like this.
Yeah, no. Crossroads Oakley.
It was HQ.
But we were here, it was completely gutted 24 years ago. Nancy and I were sitting in the back and we had to write it down on a piece of paper. A number came to my mind and it was so scary. And the same number came to Nancy. And then we had to go drop it in a box.
And
at that time, it was real.
So I happen to know that that was a seven-figure number, much larger than you intended. Can I ask you just to how much that was?
Mentioning that on screen's a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We weren't planning on doing that when we drove over here, but yeah, so we decided that night to give $1 million. It was so scary that I was shaking and crying.
Yeah, it was nerve-wracking. It was something I never thought I'd do. So
terribly freaky.
Yeah. It was scary.
Terribly freaky.
It was scary. It was so uncomfortable, and yes, we were comfortable. I mean, it's not like I wasn't eating, but it was not nothing. It was something for us.
It made a difference in your heart and soul.
It did, and I was always thinking about that commitment and our commitment to God and to the church. You know, either I can do this or I can do this or I cannot do that, but it's for the kingdom. That lens was on everything I bought.
And it was focusing.
It did.
I'll tell you what, I don't know that I've ever had as rich a prayer life as I had had. 5 years into Crossroads, you know, being Crossroads, and we had grown so much by then. We had already seen more people than we could have imagined showing up. People were coming to Christ. Marriages were being saved.
It was exciting, and it was, God was here.
It was obvious that big things were happening, and so, but we were crammed into a rented space, and we were just growing out of it. And it was obvious that with this big space, we'd have had great room to grow. I don't think either one of us imagined we'd grow to where we are today.
No.
But, you know, God's presence in our lives, He's shown up for us. Our business is thriving. Our kids are thriving. You know, we've had some health issues that, you know, we've come through. His faithfulness to us and His faithfulness to Crossroads and the people who show up here. Yeah, it was a good investment.
And that's not the only one you made. We've had four campaigns in the life of our church, and in each one were seven-figure commitments.
Yeah.
Why do you keep giving? What has God done in you and through you because of that?
These campaigns have been some of the times that I felt the closest to God. Each one, we're like, we're not going to participate in this one.
We've done our thing.
Yeah, we've done our thing. And God just, I don't know, he gets our hearts and says, no, you're not done.
Well, we've had the, perhaps we ought to sit this one out conversation.
We've already had that.
And I just bought a big chunk of our family business, and so I have a bunch of debt there. But I can already tell we're starting to be moved, and
we never know until the end.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes it's at the very end. We're in the process, and the process is amazing.
One of the things that I'm trying hard to do is be true to him, and
I want to be part of the kingdom. I want to be in. I mean, he's doing amazing things. I want to be part of it.
Yeah.
And just sit it out. You miss something. That's how I always start in these. I'm like, I'm not. And then here we are,
Perhaps the biggest legacy we have is our involvement in Crossroads. I mean, honestly, I mean, there's our business, and that'll be a nice legacy. I mean, our business is making a real difference in people's lives, and we're thrilled about that. But it doesn't feel like it could possibly make the difference in people's lives that Crossroads is. God did amazing things in people's lives, and he's, 28 years later or so, he's still doing it. And he's done that in us.
And being pushed sounds awful, but being pushed is, it's kind of exhilarating, if you allow yourself to be, especially in these times right now. God can handle all these problems, and he's calling our name.
Yeah.
He's like, come on. He's the answer.
Yeah, and having the opportunity to play a part is a real blessing.
Yeah, it's great. They are an equal part of our church, as is the minimum wage worker who tithes on tips. We all are in this thing. Psalm 115:13 says, God will bless those who know the Lord from the smallest to the greatest. Smallest to the greatest. He is looking for our hearts. He's not looking specifically for a dollar amount. He's looking for a heart. What kind of a heart? A heart that's like his son. What was his son like? He had a heart for sacrifice. Last week, I had an unusual interaction with a person. People go to our church. I'd never heard of them before, never talked with them before. They saw the stuff we talked about last week with the 220,000 square foot communal campus for girls we've rescued out of sex slavery over in Nepal. Really moved, and they saw that $3 million price tag. Said, let's just get to going immediately. And they said, why don't we put a $1.5 million thing up, a matching grant, and then you can match that with the other million and a half. Incredibly generous, incredibly kind. Again, our last time we did a campaign, we had one seven-figure commitment, one. So this is not unusual. It's not every day it's happened. So you thought, we might need to do this. So we had some internal thinking about it, and maybe we just go to some people internally. We know have some money, and know some of those people, they don't tithe, and I'll just go to them and like treat them as a fundraiser, just try to fundraise some money from them. We started thinking about all this stuff, and where we ended was, no, that's just not us. These people's hearts are in the right place. And other nonprofits do this, and it's fine for them. But it just felt too gimmicky for us. It felt too NPR for us. And then what is it? Then, like, only if you can get asked to do the matching fund do you feel like you got to do the communal campus for those girls? No, we all get that, from the smallest to the greatest. All of us get all of these things. All of us are equally valuable in our community, equal value to God. And I explained that to that couple and said, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense. I think they're still are still committing that, which is great. And I said, you mind if I tell your story anonymously? Yes, yeah, great. That's fine. That's not their whole story, but I love their heart. And I also love we need to protect the heart of this church. that this is a we thing, not just a person who can do things that many of us can't do. All of us are equal before God. God's testing us right now. I don't know if you know that. It's a test. That conversation was a test for me. Test like, you want to just do like a growing nonprofit and do nonprofit plays that they do? Or do you have a different thing you want me to do through this church? It was a test, I think. And there's a test right here for you right now. A few weeks ago, I talked about arguably the most central story in the Bible, at least the oldest central story in the Bible, the story of Abraham and Isaac. I can't give you all the details right now, but just to catch up real quickly, promises for Abraham to have a great nation, outnumber the stars. They don't have a child. They finally have a child. His name is Isaac. God starts to think, you love this child more than you actually love me and the vision I've given you. You actually may even love the vision I've given you more than you love me. You need to kill that child. Abraham takes him up on the mountain, goes to the very top of the mountain, and I noticed troubling things in here. I unpacked these much, much more before. So if you want a deep dive, go back and look at that from a couple weeks ago. Goes up, and right when he raises his knife to kill Isaac on the altar, this is where I want to dig in a little bit more. Genesis chapter 22, and it says this. He said, he says this, verse 2, Abraham, Abraham, and he says, here I am. Here I am, Abraham says. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. He calls him out just to see if he's paying attention. Abraham, Abraham, and he hears, we got Abraham in there. There's Abraham, all right. He still does this today. He calls out today, Jill, Jill. There. John. No Johns in here? Seriously. There's no Johns in here. Actually, no Johns who actually want to pass the test today. Let's move on to another name. Sharon. There he is. Latasha. There he is. Right. Just imagine God's calling your name and going, here I am. I'm here. Put me in. I'm here. God's calling your name right now. And he says to Abraham, don't do it. Don't do it. And here's what God says. It's so weighty and so freaky to me. Let's just take God at his word. Let's believe the Bible for a minute, word for word for a moment. Just for a moment we can. Sometimes we have other beliefs that are maybe in the Bible, and we try to glob them on, and we drain the rich meaning out of a story. He says, now I know that you fear God. As if God says, I didn't know before. And we'll say, well, doesn't God know all things? You can have that theological debate another time. Let's just look at this verse, what he says. Now I know. How does God know something? I'll hear people say, well, God knows my heart. How does God know your heart? He knows your heart by what you do. That's how he knows your heart. Doesn't look at your heart and go, oh, you have a nice heart. Oh, I just like your heart. Oh, it's not. He knows your heart by what you and I do. And what you and I do are tests that we pass and things that qualify us for the next assignment that God has for us. And when we don't pass certain tests, we don't get more assignments and more opportunities and even more blessings. It's just a basic Bible thing. I'm not going to give you like all 100 examples of this, but this is a test for a lot of us today. This is a test. First of all, you already started passing the test. You came in today. You didn't stay home. That's awesome. And now, you get to see whether or not God has your heart. God gets to see whether or not he has your heart. And the way he sees that is sacrifice. It's always tough for Liv and I to figure out what our number is, always is. Life situations are different every year. They're always unusual. But we have to take where we are right now and go, okay, what does that mean right now? Well, we have sacrifice. Our sacrifice is there's things that we're not going to be able to do, we would have done before. I've already canceled two of those things. There's things that we could feel more secure about, we're not going to feel as secure as we did before. I'm sure there's people in here who are going to make larger sacrifices in terms of what may mean to your life. I know that, but I'll tell you, I'm just committed. We're still sacrificing. This is the largest amount that we've given or paid for anything other than our current house. Because for where we are right now, that's the amount that it would take for it to be a sacrifice for us. And God's looking to see if there's a group of people who have that, his kind of heart, the heart of Abraham for sacrifice, the heart of Jesus for sacrifice, the heart of David for sacrifice. Maybe the reason we're not seeing an awakening is there hasn't been a group of people who've been willing to sacrifice before until now. Friends, that's us. Come on. It's who we are. It's what we've done. Whether you're a long-timer or a first-timer, join the party. Let's go. Let's make this happen. All right. Right now, in your seat, you have this. Don't look at the bottom box. Don't look at that intimidating bottom box. Don't look at there. Don't look there. Let's just do some logistical things, okay? Let's do the easy stuff. Like fill out your name. Just put your name, and I'm doing this so we can read it because we're gonna come on top, onto all of our stages, put cards in, and people are gonna count them. They're also gonna compare them to, if you gave a card before a leadership event, we're gonna compare and contrast and figure out what the right number is and all that stuff. So we need to read it. So first name, that's Brian. Last name, Tome. Email address, put that in there. Try to be neat. If you're married, give it to the person who has neater handwriting. You know who you are. Street address. City. State. Phone number. You know us, this isn't for some marketing purposes. It's just, if we're confused about something you said or whatever, we just want to be able to get in touch with you. You can trust us. And your spouse's name and all of that info there. Spouse's email address. Liv's on here where I am at this campus today. She's at another campus, our normal home campus. Or else we would be coming up together and filling this out. We're actually going beyond what we thought we were going to do. So we're going to be filling out a new card and putting it in. In a moment, we're going to come and on front, on top of all of our stages, in most of our places, the highest place. And we're going to give a sacrifice, a commitment. What you're going to put is you're going to put in the bottom. Don't do it yet. The bottom, whatever it is that you want to commit, that you want to consecrate yourself for, above and beyond your regular giving. Thank you for your regular giving. It's wonderful. Thank you. And if you can't go beyond that, fine. If you don't want to feel embarrassed, put a dollar on there or something like that. The regular giving is really good, really important. This is a different sacrifice. You'll put that total number for whatever it's going to be over 3 years, however you're going to do it, over 3 years. Now, before we do that, let's just pray. And if you've got a spouse, you can talk and see if anything happened here that God might have hit you with. And let's just have a moment of just peace here before we do this, all right? I'm going to pray. And then at the end of which, we're going to go to all of our sites for logistics in your room. Lord, we're nervous. We're excited. We're queasy. We're thankful. We're worshipful. All those things. Lord, we just want to pass over a test you have for us, whatever it is. We want to be your yes people. God, if there's something you want from us, if you want to nudge us right now, we'll take that. If not, we want you to hear from us. We want you to hear how much we care for you and the vision for your kingdom.
Man, thank you so much for being with us on what is a really, really special day. So if you've been watching and you're ready to make a commitment, depending on what platform you're watching on, there's either a QR code on your screen that you can just scan, or a commit button directly below this video that you can press. And as you see behind me and around me, there are people that are lining up to give their commitment. And I just want to be really clear, really clear. This is a we thing, not a they thing or a crossroads thing. This is something that we are leaning into as a community. Something that we want to see God show up in new ways and in powerful ways, and trust that it's not just about God accomplishing huge, huge things through our corporate expression of the church, but that God wants to do huge things in our lives. That the mission here isn't just impact, but it is heart change. It's trusting God in a fresh way and seeing Him show up. So we want to see that happen for you, no matter where you are all across the globe. We've had stories just pour in from all over the place that just highlight this. Actually, I'm going to read one, but I'm going to change something right here for you. There you go. Okay, so here's a story that just came in from somebody in Kentucky. Since I started attending Crossroads and building my relationship with Christ, my life and those around me have changed for the good. I pray that Crossroads continues to reach more and more people, leading to this earth looking more like heaven. Together with this push, I believe there can be an awakening. I love that story. So, so good. That's the whole goal. That's the whole goal, that heaven would come to earth. And Brian, a number of weeks ago, had this amazing line that was, why are we surprised with like a SpaceX launch or something like that, that it's expensive to take Earth to heaven with a rocket launch? We shouldn't be surprised that it's also expensive to bring heaven to Earth, that it requires an investment. It requires a step forward of faith. Another story that just came in says this: I'm in my third year of college. 3 years from now, I'll be graduated and onto my first job. I'm confident that God has good things in store for me. I'm sacrificing my quote-unquote wiggle room for a safety net as a college student, trusting that God will make more room than I could ever imagine. God, I love you, and I give you my 100%. Man, that's so cool. There's all kinds of different people in every different life stage at all our different sites and online that right now are making that same commitment, saying, in one way or another, God, I give you what I have. I trust you with my 100%. God, it's not just a trust. This isn't a financial thing, right? Because money isn't just money. It's also a statement of trust, a statement of faith, a statement that God has us, right? So we're trusting that God has us, that He's looking out for us, and that He's with us. Now, I want you to just check out and some of the great, great, great stuff going on in our church. So as people continue to line up at our sites and for you guys online, and stories are just continuing to come in. And I think there's something really, really cool on these commitment cards, that the side might have personal information and a number of a commitment amount, that the other side is representative of the story that led that person to this moment, about how they've seen God show up or about how they're expecting to see God show up. So one of the stories that just came in that I just want to share with you guys goes like this, from Oklahoma. I have committed and I'm all in. Heavenly Father, please continue guiding my thoughts and life towards you. Please continue to bless Crossroads, the pastors, and all the people it requires to make it run and grow. Please continue to help us keep our commitments to glorify your kingdom. Your kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done. May your day be blessed, Father. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just want to call something out on that. I love that the focus is on what God wants. This is not about what Crossroads is doing. This is about what God is doing through His people, some of which happen to be at Crossroads. Another story that just came in, I'll share with you guys, says this. We've been faithful tithers for many years and have gone above the tithe for many years as well. We joyfully give to God's kingdom here on earth. We'll be retired in years 2 to 3 of this commitment. We don't know what our income will look like, but we trust God in this new stage of life. We've entrusted resources to Crossroads for a long time now and have seen how God has used those resources for the furthering of His kingdom. Thank you for the opportunity to give and watch God work. Man, that is a theme that I just keep hearing as I talk to people, as my own life, that like the financial situation of this year is gonna look different from the next 2 or 3. And as this person goes on to say, they say, ever since we've started putting God first in our lives, He's showed out for us in many ways, and now we want to give back to Him. Man, again, states that we've seen stories come in so far, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Texas, Illinois, Arizona, Minnesota, Florida, Maryland, California, Kansas, Oregon, Oklahoma. It's so good, guys. It's so good. Thank you for joining us wherever on the globe you are. This is a way that we're saying yes to what God has. So, I would say it. Crossroads isn't content, it's a community. We're not just a thing to watch. We're a community that you can belong to. We're a church that you can fully belong to no matter where you live. And like this song says, we're saying yes to whatever God has for us. We're saying yes to sacrifice. We're saying yes to trust, yes to God entrusting us with more faithfulness, with more resources, with more opportunity to make an impact, because that's who He is and how He wants to bring us into what He's doing in His world. All right, I want to get you guys back into some of the worship that's going on in these words right now. Such a big deal. It's such a big deal. It's humbling. It's nerve-wracking. It's so good. Yeah. So I just got to make a commitment with my wife, and your roller coaster analogy is perfect.
Yeah.
So excited to see what God does. And actually, we've got some cool stories of people within our Anywhere community who have seen God show up and who are expecting Him to show up in cool ways. You want to read some of these?
Yeah. This one comes in. This is a college student. It says, since I've started college here in Cincinnati, I felt like money has a hold on my life. I want this to be a commitment in my heart to God and His plan for me. That, I'll just tell you, whoever that is that you submitted that story, you are starting at the perfect time.
Yeah, amazing.
When you start in college, you commit now, you're going to have a life where it becomes so much easier to lean into God and lean into faith and allow Him to stretch you. So way to go. Well done. Love that.
That's right. Somebody else wrote this. It's really, really strong. Our family, and I love this, our family is looking forward to see what God is going to do at Crossroads and are excited that we get to play a part in advancing the kingdom of God. So good. This isn't an adult thing or a they thing or a staff thing. This is a we thing, and that includes your kids, no matter how old or young they are.
That's right.
We are on a mission together. There's really, really good stuff
ahead. That's right. And parents, I mentioned this earlier in case you missed it.
Yeah.
Tell your kids what you're giving for, what the sacrifice is for. Walk them through the territories and tell them about your heart. Yeah. Tell them about what you're saying to God. You're gonna create a legacy in your family of generosity and people who are focused on Him. I'll say as a dad, there's nothing I want more than for my kids to follow God in power and in faith and to mirror His heart of generosity. So take advantage of it. And if you, by the way, if that's like, I don't know how to walk them through all the initiatives, crossroads.net/10x, scroll down and you can watch the mission briefing that Andy and I were a part of from my workshop, if that helps you out.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like a tactile way for you and for your whole family to just remember. I'd encourage you to get one of these, set it on your desk. If we already shipped you your guide somewhere across the country, this is in your week 6 envelope. You can go ahead and open that. If you didn't get one of those, hey, when you make a commitment, we will get your information and automatically send you one of these. You don't have to do anything. But then take this Set it on your desk. Set it somewhere where you will see it. Set it somewhere where your family will see it. And they can be reminded that you're not just giving money mindlessly, but you are intentionally sacrificing, putting what God wants in front of what you want. I want my kids to know why Disney Plus is going away for a while. You know, like, I want them to understand why our family sacrifices, because there's big things that God wants to do in us and that God wants to do through us.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for being part of this movement. We're hoping and we're praying for you, for your family, that the 10X life that you hope for, as we started this journey, it started in personal revival. God, would you revive me? Would I sense you 10 times more, that you would feel that, that you would experience that? I'm going to pray for you as we end our time. God, thank you for everyone watching. Thank you for everyone who engaged. I'm asking for your blessing on all of us and our church, and that you would have your way, that you would become more famous, that more people would know you through this sacrifice. Amen. All right. Next time we see you, it's Celebration Weekend. See you then.